Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, September 4th edition of the MMA OB Daily Show. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. Guys, follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARatings.net. Quite a bit to talk about today, actually. A couple of fight announcements, but there's some pretty big news. And I'll start with the biggest thing of the night, or yesterday night, I should say. Chris Cyborg has signed with Bellator MMA to a long-term deal, multi-fight contract, which Bellator claims is the biggest contract in the history of women's mixed martial arts. Hard to verify that. I still feel like Ronda Rousey was probably paid more by the UFC under the table, but as far as maybe what the disclosed salary will be with the commissions, maybe Cyborg is the highest paid. Anyways, this is a great signing for Bellator. I think we all knew this was probably going to happen. I felt like Bellator is the front runner as soon as the UFC released Cyborg last month. Great signing. Bellator, President Scott Coker and Chris Cyborg have worked together in the past. Back in Strikeforce, obviously, Rich Chow, the matchmaker at Bellator, has also worked with Cyborg back in the BXC. So they're very familiar with Chris Cyborg, what she brings to the table. Scott Coker says she's the best female fighter of all time. I do believe Amanda Nunes has probably surpassed her at this point, but Chris Cyborg's still an incredible fighter and still one of the best in the world. Despite losing to Nunes last year, she looked really good against Felicia Spencer in her last fight. Didn't get the finish there, but still won that fight. Overall, she had a 6-1 record in the UFC. So even though Dana White has really crapped on Chris Cyborg since she was released, saying that, you know, she's not the fighter she once was, she went 6-1 in the UFC. And she also beat Holly Holm, Felicia Spencer, Yana Kuniskawa, Tonya Evinger, Lena Landsberg, and Leslie Smith. She looked great. We all know how powerful she is. She's a star. This is a great signing for Bellator, and I believe that she will be fighting Julia Budd in her Bellator debut for the title. Scott Coker didn't confirm that, but he did say that's the fight that they want to make. So that's going to be an amazing fight if it does happen, which I think it will. Chris Cyborg doesn't need a tune-up fight. She doesn't need to get win in Bellator to get that title shot. She deserves it right now. And honestly, as good as Julia Budd has looked, and she's looked amazing, Chris Cyborg is going to be a very difficult matchup for her. So that's a fight I'm very much looking forward to. I do favor Cyborg to win that fight, but Julia Budd's looked really good. Can't count her out of that one. Either way, I mean, this is a great signing for Bellator, and I've said it like 10 times in this episode, but it's crazy how the UFC let one of the best female fighters ever go when she's still very effective and very good. She's 34 years old, so she's getting up there in age, but still looking good in the cage. One loss in the last 14 years. One loss to Amanda Nunes. And to me, that doesn't erase everything else she's done in her career. And I agree with Scott Coker in saying that she still has a lot left of the tank. And I believe that this is going to be a very shrewd signing by Bellator and a mistake by the UFC. Dana White will never admit this was a mistake, but I think his ego got in the way of this one, letting go of such a great fighter here in Chris Cyborg. So Bellator makes good, and I'm really excited to see Julia Budd take on Chris Cyborg if that fight happens, which I believe it will. Speaking of Bellator, Ryan Bader will be taking on Chiat Kongo this Saturday night for the title. And in the lead-up to the fight, he's been doing a bunch of interviews. And one thing he did say that I found interesting was he said the Bellator approached the UFC and asked them if they would do a cross-promotion fight for the heavyweight title between Bader and Cormier, and the UFC said no. I think this isn't a surprise to anyone. Bellator, or UFC, I should say, has never been open to cross-promotion. Bellator has been in the past. I remember the Eddie Alvarez thing versus Gilbert Melendez years ago. I believe that Bellator was interested in that. Strikeforce, actually. Scott Coker was the promoter at the time. I don't think they were, but I do think that Bellator would be interested in cross-promotion fights, but UFC wasn't, and Cormier since lost to Stipe Miocic, so that fight won't be happening anytime soon. Ryan Bader's an incredible fighter. Scott Coker's out there toting the fact that he believes Bader's the best heavyweight in the world. I think Bader's amazing. I don't know if he's better than Stipe Miocic, but he's definitely a great fighter. And I'd like to see him fight Cormier at some point. They were supposed to fight a couple years ago in Louisiana. The fight never happened, but I'd like to see it at some point. It just never will. Not with DC having probably one fight left in his career and Bader over in Bellator. So unfortunately, that fight's probably never going to happen, but it was interesting. I thought that Bader said that Bellator did approach the UFC about it. And I should say, I don't have the full odds for this card yet, but I am noticing there are some odds popping up for Bellator 226 right now over on Best Fight Odds. They just released like 10 minutes ago the line for Kongo and Bader. Bader opened at -278, Kongo plus 200. That seems low to me. Bader, I think, will be a little bit higher by the time the other sports books opened it. So keep an eye out for those odds. But I think I'll probably be previewing that full card tomorrow, if not Friday. Just depends on when the odds come out, but probably tomorrow. All right, a couple other things to talk about here. Paige VanZant's back in the news. This time, Justine Kiche is actually calling Paige VanZant out. And why not? I mean, Paige VanZant needs an opponent. She'll be back soon. Justine Kiche is a pretty good fighter here. She has a 2-2 record in the UFC, coming off two straight losses. Paige is coming off, if I'm not mistaken, the win over Rachel Ostovich. So I don't think this fight's going to happen. But you know what? Good for Kiche to go out there and call someone out. She hasn't been active lately. She actually fought last January and lost to Ji Yun Kim. But before that, she was a pretty good prospect. So you know what? Why not put your name out there? Why not say, hey, I'll fight you when no one else wants to fight Paige? No one else has called her out from what I've heard, except for, I guess, Macy Barber called her out. But I feel like Barber might get someone even bigger than Paige VanZant at this point. Either way, you know, Kiche, she needs a fight. She probably wants to come back soon. Why not call Paige VanZant out? Although the fact she's on a two-fight losing skid, Paige is on a win, I don't feel like that fight's going to happen. Dominic Cruz is also back in the news. He did an interview with Ariel Helwani yesterday, and he said that he said the UFC wants him to fight Henry Cejudo, which I don't believe for a second here. I think this is Cruz just talking. I think Cruz is the biggest fan of himself. Listen, this guy is probably a Hall of Famer one day, and he was the best bantamweight in the world for years, between probably 2008 and 2016. He was probably the best bantamweight in the world, despite the injuries in between that period. But the guy was a UFC champion, a WBC champion, and at times looked amazing. But he hasn't fought since 2016. His last fight was a loss to Corey Garbrandt. Why would he get a title shot over guys like Aljamain Sterling, Peter Yan, even Uriah Faber, who's coming off a win? This is just Dominic Cruz talking, in my opinion. He's trying to build up this fight with Cejudo. Cejudo seems to want this fight as well. Listen, it's a good fight. I'd watch this fight, but I just feel like there's other guys that are way more deserving. Also, I feel like Cejudo's going to fight Joseph Benavidez next at 125. And if he doesn't want to fight at 125, they have to relinquish that belt and let those guys at flyweight fight. That division's actually looking really good lately. So I feel like Benavidez will be getting that next fight against Cejudo. And guys like Cruz and Sterling, who are out there calling for the fight, won't be getting it. You know, Cruz, I think, should just be focused really on getting a win at this point. I feel like he's just going big game hunting at this point of his career, knowing that he probably only has a couple fights, knowing that he's always injured. But the fact remains, he has not fought since a decision loss to Cody Garbrandt in December 2016, the same card. Ronda Rousey was knocked out by Amanda Nunes. I cannot see Dominic Cruz getting this title shot against Henry Cejudo, and I just feel like he's out there talking, trying to get this fight, but there's no way the UFC is interested in this when there's so many other contenders out there. BJ Penn is back in the news. BJ Penn actually did an interview with Aaron Bronstetter, my good buddy over at TSN, and he talked about the bar incident. He said that half of the video was not released, and the video that was released made him look really bad, which we all know it did. It was a bad look for BJ. And again, I work for BJPenn.com, so this is tough for me to talk about without, you know, ruffling any feathers over there. I know the other guys feel the same way. It's a bad look for BJ. He's dealing with a lot of stuff. He has the child custody case going on. He has some legal issues going on, obviously. The guy's a legend. He's the Hall of Famer. He's supposed to fight Nick Lentz in, he says, November. Again, I feel like the UFC just needs to say, you know what, we can't do this fight right now. You have too much going on outside the cage. Focus on your outside stuff, then take one more fight, and then retire. But, you know, in my opinion, he shouldn't fight again. But it's BJ. We know BJ is kind of a stubborn guy, and he likes to fight. So he probably will get that one last fight, but in my opinion, I think he should just hang them up. It's up to him, though. He has hung them up before, so it's not like I'm out here saying anything controversial. You know, I love DJ as a fighter and as a Hall of Famer and as a pioneer of MMA. But I feel like his time is up. You know, in the UFC, especially, seven straight losses, if I'm not mistaken. It's just too many losses in a row. So, love DJ. I want to believe what he said in Aaron's interview, but there's just so much going on outside the cage. I just feel like he should be focusing on that and not fighting a guy like Nick Lentz, who is a pretty tough matchup for him. And one other thing I want to mention about BJ is I saw a tweet yesterday by another writer, and he said that, you know, why is BJ Penn covering the Melvin Gillard bar incident, which I actually wrote the article about. Melvin Gillard got into a bar fight last year, and the video finally came out, him knocking out cold this guy. He actually was arrested, and he's since been given probation for that. But yes, he was charged with second degree assault, if I'm not mistaken. So it was pretty bad. You can see the video on TMZ if you want to see Melvin Gillard knocking out a random guy at a bar. But they were asking why, and they were critical, but it's fair. why are you guys covering Melvin Gloria and not BJ Penn? Now, it's tough for us as writers at BJ Penn. BJ's, you know, obviously the name of the website, and we all respect BJ, but we do want to write an article about it. It's just very hard to write something when, you know, this is our job and you're getting paid by BJPenn.com. None of us want to lose our job. And I feel like it's the same thing at the Mac Life. They didn't put the video of Connor punching the guy in the face at the bar either. So it's just one of those things, guys. Like, we're trying to be the best journalists we can be, but at the same time, you can't bite the hand that feeds. The guy, me and the other guys at BJPenn.com, we rely on our income from that website to support ourselves and our families. So it's just something we can't write about at the moment. I think when the time comes, we would like to write about that, all of us at the website, but, you know, I can see why people are questioning that. I think it's fair criticism, but at the same time, you have to understand where we at BJPenn.com are coming from. It's just one of those things where none of us want to lose our jobs, guys, and it's just something we cannot write about at the moment. So, you know, luckily I do have this podcast where I can talk about some other things besides, you know, just the fights. I can talk about my thoughts on different things in the sport going on, the storylines. This is something I have spoken about briefly, but it's just something that I can't really get into that much because I can't risk losing my job. And I feel like the guys there are the same situation, and the guys in the Mac Life are in the same situation. We all have our opinions on the incidents. I don't think anyone likes what's going on in these videos that are being released for all these fighters, but at the same time, we all need to get paid and keep our jobs. So that's the thing. It's tough. You know, if I was working for MMAJunkie.com or something like that, of course I'd be covering it. But when you work for literally BJPenn.com, it's very hard to write something about the guy when the videos are out there and they don't look too pleasant. So that's just what I wanted to get it, what I wanted to say about that. You know, I hope people can respect that opinion and respect where we're coming from over at BJPenn.com. And, you know, I feel like we have a great team of writers over there. And I really like actually being a part of that team. I've been there for like 4 months now. It's been great. Those guys treat me great. And I just wanted to give my thoughts on, you know, why we haven't covered it. Because I see the comments. I read the comments, guys. And I've seen, you know, a lot of people get a little just confused and just, you know, critical. And, again, I think it's that some of the criticism is fair, but you have to understand at the same time where we're coming from. So just wanted to mention that. And that's pretty much my thoughts on the BJ Penn thing. I don't really want to talk about it after this until maybe he speaks on the website. I do believe he should make a comment to our website. The fact that he gave one to TSN and not BJPenn.com, that confuses me a little bit. But at the same time, good for Aaron for getting that interview. And hopefully BJ does, you know, release a statement talking about this incident. But again, he's got so much going on inside the cage right now. And I feel like he should say something like, hey, you know what? I wanted to come back against Nick Lentz, but right now I have other stuff to deal with. And we'll see what happens there. Okay, a couple of fight announcements I'm going to get out of here. So the UFC has announced two more fights for UFC Singapore. That's the card headlined by Ben Askren versus Damian Maia. And a surprising heavyweight fight has been booked between Greg Hardy and Georges Danho. I was very surprised when I saw this matchup. I thought Greg Hardy would get a step up in competition from Juan Adams, not a guy in Georges Danho, who hasn't fought since 2016 and who's 0-1-1 in the UFC. This guy is just not a great, good fighter at all, really, in my opinion. They call him the Man Mountain. When he came to the UFC, he had some promise. He had won all his fights by knockout really quick, but since then he lost. He lost the technical decision to Daniel Omelianchuk. I believe there was an eye poke in that fight, if I'm not mistaken. And then that was on the Bisping Silva card. So that was a while ago. That was his debut in 2016. And then September 2016, he had a draw with Christian Colombo, who I don't believe is in the UFC right now either. Let me double check that, but I think he's gone. Yes, he's not in the UFC, although he's from Denmark, so maybe he'll be signed for this upcoming card. But either way, yeah, Georges Danho, 35 years old, 5-1-1-1. Very weird record, and a guy that I thought was cut from the UFC a long time ago. Surprised he's getting this fight with Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy obviously has looked good in the UFC. He's 5-1 overall, 2-1 in the UFC. The two knockout wins over Juan Adams and Dmitry Smolyakov after the DQ loss to Alan Crowder. He's looked good. We all know guy's a great athlete with a lot of knockout power. Really good prospect in the heavyweight division, only 31. Greg Hardy's going to win this fight, guys. Even though if you don't like Greg Hardy, he is definitely a really good prospect in the heavyweight division. Tons of knockout power. And taking out a guy in Georges Danho, who has some power, but has terrible cardio, bad conditioning. And if Greg Hardy doesn't win the first round, I actually think he'll have the better cardio in this fight and be able to push the fight late and get the win. But either way, Hardy's going to win this fight. And this is just a very weird matchup because I know they're doing this slow build with this guy, but to me, this is actually a step down for Juan Adams, and Hardy finished him in 45 seconds. So kind of a weird matchup here. And Jarvis Daniels is probably his last fight in the UFC. Also on that card, we have a really interesting lightweight bout between Daniil Dariush and Frank Camacho. I like this fight a lot, actually. It's a fun one to watch. Probably Daniil Dariush, really good fighter, 30 years old. What's his record in the UFC? He's 10-4-1 in the UFC, so he's actually a really solid record. He's coming off two straight wins over Drew Dober and Thiago Moises. The guys look great at times, knockout power, submission ability. He also can be knocked out. He's been knocked out three times in the UFC, so his chain definitely is questionable, but the guy's a really good submission artist, and he's a pretty well-rounded fighter. And then you got Frank Camacho here, Crank, 30 years old, and this guy's just nothing but exciting. He's 2-3 in the UFC, so not a great record, but coming off a win over Nick Hein, an incredible win. He looked amazing in that fight. A lot of kicks to the body, just opened high enough and then finished with punches. He has five fights in the UFC, and three of them were fighting the night against Li Jingliang, Damian Brown, Drew Dober. So I'm a big fan of Frank Camacho. I do think he has a chance to win this fight because of his KO power and his toughness, but Dariush is really good in the ground. Camacho has only been submitted one time, so that's kind of surprising. I thought he'd be submitted more than that. He actually has been KO'd four times, but overall, a very durable guy, and this should be a great fight. I like this fight a lot. I like this card a lot. Also on that card, like I mentioned, Maya versus Askren. Then you have Michael Johnson versus Stevie Ray, Ciryl Gane versus Dontel Mays, Sergey Pavlich versus Maurice Green, Brad Tavares versus Ian Heinisch. So really good card coming up in Singapore. That takes place October 26th at Singapore Indoor Stadium in Klang, Singapore. But that's a while away from now. This weekend, we do have UFC 242. And I got to give a plug here for myself and Cole Sheldon. We did the full podcast yesterday, breaking down the entire card. Great card. Some close fights, but a lot of mismatches according to the odds. But again, I feel like there's going to be some upsets in this card. Hard to say who's going to be, but either way, great card. I'm looking forward to it, guys. Once again, I appreciate you guys tuning in today for the Wednesday edition of this podcast. Chris Cyborg signs with Bellator. That's the big news of the day. So really big news there, but a couple other things that I obviously talked about. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MARanks.net. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow, probably breaking down Bellator 226. Cross our fingers. The odds come out tonight. And I'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a good one, guys. See you later.